Huh? You got your blessing. If you go out here and you say, oh, I'm going to open up this mission, I'm going to do all these great things. That's not to say there isn't a good thing to do a mission, but do it quietly. And don't make a big deal out of yourself. Amen? But maybe it's not your job to have a mission. Maybe you just know somebody down the street needs something. But you know, if you go leave a bag of groceries in their door, and you have a little note in there, Jesus loves you, who can they praise? They can't praise you because they don't know who you are. Huh? And you praise God. Am I making sense with this? I want you to understand. I want you to have understanding of this. It's what makes all of this other stuff work. Charity. Now let's define charity. Charity suffereth long. What's that mean, Ricky Baldwin? It puts up with people for a long time. It's not quick to get rid of you. And is kind. Notice that "and is kind" is right after suffereth long. In other words, while charity is suffering long, it's still kind. Huh? When you're being a pighead, charity's still kind. When your child's misbehaving, you spank them kindly.
Bless the Lord.
When you are being tried with someone, you don't go back at them in anger, resentment, and get even attitude. You go back at them in kindness. That's a sign of love. Ricky Bowman shakes his head yes, because he's got a good handle on that. Right? Amen. Charity envieth not. Don't envy. If you see Ricky Baldwin get a blessing of the Lord, you don't sit back and say, well, that's not fair. You got that, man, didn't you? Huh? If you have a godly love and Ricky Baldwin gets a blessing of the Lord, you're going to be congratulating him. You're going to be happy for him. You're going to be praising the Lord. It's like if Ricky Jr.'s dad gets a computer. He's going to be happy about it. He's not going to be mad. I'm going to rub where to nail that boy. You see, and we all have our little areas. You see, I can name something for him, and then turn right around and name something for Steve. But do you see what I mean? And his charity doesn't envy. Somebody gets a blessing, then the others will rejoice in that blessing for that person. Why? Because the whole body benefits. We studied that, didn't we? If that toe gets stubbed and I put ointment in it, it's going to help the whole body. The Lord showed me that. You remember Ricky Ball when you guys used to have to lead me into the church? I was blind as a bat. Lead me into the church. I couldn't read my Bible, couldn't see the time of day. Blind. I was blind. And they'd bring people up, and I'd preach the gospel and pray for the sick, and they'd be healed. They'd bring in the blind, and I'd pray for them, and they'd be healed. And I'd walk out just as blind as when I walked in. And I would whine and cry and moan and groan and go home and, why didn't you heal me, Lord? Why didn't you heal me? It's not fair. Was I showing charity?
No.
No. I wasn't showing charity. It didn't benefit me anything to heal those people in the name of Jesus, as long as I was envying them. But when I came to that point when I said, Lord, I bless you, and it doesn't matter to me if I ever sin again. If I can bless your people with your blessings, let me do it. I don't care if I never see it again. My attitude changed. And then when I prayed for people and they were healed, I was happy about it. And I didn't feel sorry about it for myself. You see, God was teaching me things. Taught me a couple other things. I was ashamed of my calling. In 1972, August the 5th, Jesus Christ called me as an apostle. And I was ashamed to tell people because of all the hassles I'd get. But I kept it to myself. And time passed. And the Lord decided it was time to deal with that. And one day when he dealt with it, and I said, okay, Lord, I went back to bed, got up, walked downstairs, never dawned on me, I was seeing where I was going. Sat down at the table, pulled open the Bible, started reading it. Didn't dawn on me. Had to look off across the room at the clock on the VCR, and I said, oh, is that what time it is? Then it hit me. I was sitting in the dining room, looked clean over the end of the living room, there was a VCR, and I could read the clock on it. Unreal. See? Then God healed me. I had to get my priorities right. I had to get the Father first in my life. The Father who loved me so much that he gave up his own son to die for me. That looked past all my faults and all my sins and all my ugliness. Looked beyond that and said, I love you. I'm going to save you. And gave his own son. Can you love one another that way? Can you look at the person next to you and say, I'm going to give up my life for you? I'm not going to see where you're at right now. I'm not going to look at the problems you have now. I want to see you where you be. I want to see you the way Jesus sees you. Complete. Whole. Perfect. Before him. Amen? That's what it's all about. Look at this. This is good stuff. Envy is not. Charity vaunted mind itself. It's not puffed up. Charity doesn't come along and say, now look, I'm the apostle in this church and you've got to do what I say. If you don't, I'm going to beat you in the head. Charity doesn't do that. Does it, Carrie? What's charity say? Charity comes and says, I wish that you would do this. They say, well, I don't want to. That's all right. Do whatever you want. Do everything you want. That's all right. Amen? Then back off 10 feet. Let God do his work. Charity doesn't make anybody do anything. It's not my place to make you do anything. It's not Ricky Baldwin's place to make you do anything. Nor is it Ricky Jr.'s or Jim's or Steve's or Carrie or Kim's. It's none of our places to make anybody do anything. Does a servant have authority over another servant other than that which the Lord of both servants give them? No. If you're a slave and I'm a slave, We're in the same slavery boat. Amen? What did Paul call himself, a servant of God? Look up that word. It means bond slave. It means a slave sold into slavery. And a bond slave has no will. He may have a will, but it better be to serve his master. Amen? And a bond slave is no higher than any other slave. Amen? So if I'm a slave and you're a slave, I'm no better than you are. The Lord may give me a little bit different responsibilities. Amen? But it's not up to me to make you do anything. It's up to Him. He's your master, not me. So charity doesn't vaunt itself, doesn't push itself on somebody, and doesn't puff himself up. Alright? Verse 5, does not behave itself unseemly. I know some young men, when a new girl comes to church, they can't help to get over there and start trying to make eyes at them. That's called unseemly. Amen? My Bible says young men treat the young women as brothers, as sisters, and the young women are to treat the young men as brothers. Can't get in trouble with your brother or sister unless you're a pervert. Amen? I know that happens a lot here in Vermont. But then again, I've been finding out it happens in other parts of the country too, so. Either it's catching up or something, I don't know. The world's going to hell in a handbasket because the Christians aren't doing nothing about it. Doesn't behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Doesn't seek his own way. If you've got love, you're not going to seek your own way. You're going to seek the Lord's way. Not only for you, but for others around you. Amen? Is not easily provoked. Takes a lot to make you mad. You may get mad, but see, this is nice. Provoked doesn't really mean mad. Provoked is the action one takes when one gets mad. See, you may make me mad, but you haven't provoked me till I knock you on your backside. See? So, what does the Bible say? Is it a sin to be angry? No. It says be angry and sin not. It also says be angry, not to be angry without cause. If you have a cause to be angry, then be angry, but don't sin in that anger. Amen? You're trying to talk sideband radio and somebody's on AM calling your names, don't go look him up and shoot him with a gun. That ain't the right thing to do. Even if you want to. Amen? That's for Mike Dillon. He'll be watching this, you know. Not that I've ever wanted to do that, I know. Alright. Oh. Doth not besage itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not even easily provoked, thinketh no evil. This is the hard one. This is the hard one. Thinketh no evil. What does that mean? My. I'm going to have a drink of water on that one. It's called salt. One of the best uses for a glass of water, besides getting that tickle out of your throat, is just give you a pause to think. Got any idea? Thinketh no evil? Huh? What is sin? Anything that is not of faith. So sin is evil, right? So the first meaning of this that nobody seems to ever catch, because everybody versus little thinks, well, you know, you see a girl in a short skirt, she's a prostitute, or something like that, right? And that is true. Don't be thinking evil of folks. But Faith with no evil means never doubts God. Because if you doubt God, you're thinking evil. See, now some of you sitting back there thinking, boy, I'm sure I haven't been thinking evil. I don't think evil of anybody. And then Richard comes along, Brother David comes along and puts this idea on it. And now everybody's guilty. Every one of us are guilty. Thinketh no evil means never, ever disbelieves or doubts God or His Word. Think we got a ways to go, church? Rejoices not in iniquity. You know, when somebody does something bad, they can get all excited and happy about it. Oh, I went over and busted that one, a good one. Yeah, teach him to ever talk about us again. Yeehaw. Right? Boy, I called her up on the phone and told her what for. She sure knows what I think now. Huh? And everybody else said, yeah, wow, that's great. I'm glad you did it. I'm not supposed to do that. But rejoices in the truth. Remember what's the truth again?
Jesus.
You don't rejoice in iniquity, you rejoice in Jesus. Amen? Why? Why did they put it that way? Because it's the truth, Jesus, that overcomes iniquity. Not only in yourself, but in others. And you can stand in the gap for others to bring them through. Amen? Alright. Beareth all things. Beareth all things. In other words, it doesn't matter what God asks you to do. You know what your answer is? Yes, sir, no problem. I used to teach my daughters this work ethic. When you go out there in the world and you go to work for somebody, you're their servant. From the time you check in to the time you leave, you are their servant. The only thing you should be able to say is, yes, sir, no problem, or yes, ma'am, no problem. They say, Carrie, I want you to stock these shelves. Yes, ma'am, no problem. Carrie, I want you to stop what you're doing and go over here and do this. Yes, ma'am, no problem. And that's what you did, too, wasn't it? Tim, that's what you learned to do. And boy, people got amazed at how far ahead they went. Of course, everybody else who rejoices in iniquity says, oh, they're a bunch of butt kissers. No, they're following God's word. I've done it. Went to work for Burns, minimum wage. Within 2 or 3 weeks, I was a sergeant. Within a couple months after that, I was a captain, and then an acting area supervisor. I remember one time I got 5 raises in one day. Why? Because I knew the secret of serving. Yes, sir, no problem. And you know what? If you want authority in the Lord, you first got to learn to be a servant in the Lord. You can't go around bossing other people around until you learn how to take the bossing yourself. Amen. Where am I, Steve? Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Believeth all things. All things that are of God. Satan comes and lies to you. You're not supposed to believe that. Hopeth all things. Hopeth all things of God. Endureth all things. No matter what comes your way, no matter what happens, you never lose your faith in Jesus Christ. You don't become the seed that was cast on the rocks. And the first time tribulation comes along, you're burned up and gone. Endureth all things. No matter what happens, no matter what happens, your faith in God and His fact that He has created this day for you. But remember, God's primary concern isn't whether or not you feel good today. His primary concern is not what you want to do today. His primary concern is to get you through this life so he can bring you into his kingdom and spend the rest of eternity with you.
Amen.
That's God's primary concern. And that's why God prepares days for us. And some of those things are not necessarily fun to go through. They're not the easiest to go through. But when we go through them, we come out the other end better. All right, I've got to hurry here. Verse 8, charity never faileth. Never fails. Love never fails. Whose love? God's love. Never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Now, I love that. Let me stop right there for a minute. How many churches quote that verse to say there's no more prophecy today, no more tongues for today? There's a lot of churches out there who quote that, right? But what about knowledge? You notice how they seem to forget that one? Huh? You take them over to Ephesians chapter 4 and show them where it says, for God gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the perfecting of the saints, the work of the ministry, the edification of the body of Christ, till we all come together in the unity of the faith unto the perfect man of the fullness of stature of Christ. You go over there and show them that, and what do they say? Well, there are no apostles and prophets for today. Well, then what happened? Why are there evangelists, pastors, and teachers? Well, I tell you, some people can be so stupid. I don't mean ignorant. See, the whole thing is here is I don't want you to be ignorant. Amen? Paul doesn't want you to be ignorant about spiritual gifts. But there are some people that go beyond ignorant and just are plain stupid because they don't want to know the truth. They're stupid. And you can't teach them. Don't try. Don't waste your time. Don't try to teach them. The ignorant, you teach. And you love them. And you work with them. You hope for the stupid. There may be someday they get unstupid. Maybe someday God will fix up a vaccine and catch them when they're not looking. And unstupefy them. Amen? In the meantime, you love them. So how can they say there's not going to be, that prophecies are going to fail, and tongues are going to cease, and not say knowledge is going to vanish away? You know, if knowledge, let me show you something. If knowledge, Steve, were to vanish right now, everybody would be agnostics. Did you know that? What's an agnostic? Someone with absolutely no sense, no knowledge. They don't know nothing. A head of cabbage makes a pretty good agnostic. Next time somebody says they're an agnostic, just shake your head and say, I'm sorry. And they, what do you mean? Oh, you just said you're a head of cabbage. You've got no knowledge at all. They're like these people who say, I'm an atheist. Really? You got total world knowledge? In order to be an atheist, you have to have total world knowledge. People use anything, don't even know what to talk about. They're stupid. Alright. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. Verse 10. But when that which is perfect is come, what is that which is perfect? Jesus. A lot of them out there say, well, we got the Bible. Now that we got the Bible, we don't need that. Well, that all works good if you stop right there. You could probably get away with it. You could probably get away with it if you stop there. But let's read a little further. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I'll come back to that. That's important. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Huh? Face to face. What does that mean? When that which is perfect is come, I'm going to see him face to face. I can look at this all day long. I don't see a face. Amen? That's the written word. That's logo. That's the written Christ. That's not the face-to-face Christ. That's not the one where you look at him, he looks at you, you say hi, he says hi back. Amen? Amen. So, that which is perfect has come up there in that verse. Has it come yet? Has it come yet? You know why? Huh? Huh? His body hasn't gotten itself together yet. Huh? His body hasn't gotten itself together. What did I just quote you a minute ago? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. He gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, what? For the perfecting of the saints. The work of the ministry, identifying the body of Christ. What? Till we all come together in the unity of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. That's when what? That which is perfect comes. Does anybody get that?
You just look at me. Oh, yeah, okay.
That's almost something to get excited about. That which is perfect is coming is what we're talking about right here is what Paul was talking about over there in Ephesians chapter 4. When you and I come together with others of Christ unto the one singular perfect man body, Jesus Christ, then you won't need all this stuff. Amen. And the church ain't got there yet. And you can look around and see that. Alright. Now I'm going to back up a minute. Verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. I remember this preacher years ago came into the church and he was giving a teaching on the innocence of children. He was trying to preach on the scripture where Jesus said, let accept you, accept him as one of these little ones. You can't make it. You're not fit. And he was going into how children are born so innocent. And they're so perfect. And I'm sitting back there trying not to puke. And he made that fatal mistake that most of them do at the end of the service, you know. Got any questions? Raise my hand. You could hear a murmur through the church because those people knew me. That guy didn't have a clue. It was a Jewish community church. I said, I got a question. He said, yes, sir. I said, you don't have any children, do you? Oh, no, I don't. I said, well, I was wondering if you were just ignorant or stupid. I said, children are born 100% rebellious. When a child is born, the whole universe revolves around them. They don't care whether you eat, sleep, drink, live, or die, except in the relationship to you putting food in their mouth and poop off their backside. All they care about is love me, pet me, feed me, clean me. Pet me, feed me, pet me, rock me, clean me. sleepy, wake me up, feed me. That is what they live for. And the hardest thing in the world is to break them of it. Amen? And they still do it when they're teenagers. Feed me. Give me. I want. Can I have the keys to the car? Can I have the car? Give me a dollar. Oh, there's a 10. I'll take that. Amen? Paul's saying here, when I was a child, I thought, acted, everything as a child. That means selfish, not taking responsibility for yourself, doing whatever you wanted to do, and hanging on what anybody else wanted. Amen? What it means here is this. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I became responsible. Ricky used to come up to me all the time. All right, and I say, Ricky, grow up.
Ricky, would you please grow up?
I didn't have to say it to him as many times as my mother said it to me, though. And my dad, I tell you, they were always saying it to me.
David, would you please grow up?
25 years old.
David, would you please grow up? 30 years old. David, when are you ever going to grow up?
35 years old. David, are you ever going to grow up? And, I'm waiting. I thought when I was 18, I'd grow up. 18 was the magic hour. Boink. Instant grown up. 18 came and no grown up. 19, 20, 21. 21's got to be the year. That's when it all happened. Boink. No. Didn't happen. 25 came and went. Didn't happen. 30. First, bye-bye. I was reading this one day, and the Lord showed me all it means to grow up is to accept responsibility for your actions. Be responsible. Accept responsibility. Hey-ha. So Ricky comes up to me one day. Diddy, you always tell me to grow up. What does it mean? It says this. Ricky simply means be responsible and accept responsibility. It's not a feeling thing. It's not a feeling thing. If you wait to feel grown up, it'll never happen. I am 51 or 52. I don't know how old I am. I'm one of those two. Figured out for me. 52. I'm 52 years old, and I still don't feel grown up. Right here, I feel 16, 17 years old. In fact, as I'm standing here talking to you, I don't see a big pot-bellied, fat, bald-headed, ugly, weird glasses dude walking around. I still see that 16-year-old slim, good-looking guy with all kinds of hair was better looking than him. Okay, he's pretty good looking. Amen. He's bigger than I was, too. He's bigger than I used to be. He's almost bigger than me now, except for this way. Go this way, yeah, but not this way. I do the Alfred Hitchcock thing to move. Amen. And then I go look in the mirror in the morning to shave it. Why do you think I grew a beard? Boy, that was the best 3 months I had. Didn't have to look at myself in the mirror. Praise God. Didn't have to look at what I looked like. Didn't have to see what you saw. And I could go around in my little fantasy world thinking I was slim and young and good looking and all kinds of hair. Hallelujah. Then I got up here and they taped this thing and I saw the video tape and I said, maybe we ought to go just audio. The love of the Lord, say amen. But it's all right. See, growing up simply means accepting responsibility. And Paul says when he became a man, he put away these childish things, the selfishness and the lack of responsibility. And if you don't think the churches are childish today, one sign of the churches being rebellious and childish is not accepting responsibility. Why? Because they all are going after corporations. They're going after the corporate shield to protect them from responsibility. That's why they get a corporate shield. So a pastor isn't responsible. I got news for you pastors out there. You're responsible. I'm responsible. You're responsible for what we do and say first to God. We're responsible. And a corporate shield isn't going to hide you from God. Amen. Alright, now we'll jump back down to verse 13. Can't believe I finished it up this quick. And this is the light stuff. I ain't even given you the heavy stuff yet. And now by the faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. Faith, hope, charity. How many?
Three.
Huh? Faith, hope, charity. Amen? And the greatest of all is
charity.
All right. Tomorrow, we'll start at 14. And see how Paul brings us together in balance. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. Alright? Find out what the balance is and how we put it all together tomorrow. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Amen. Did we learn something? Good. Did somebody sing a song?